It sure feels like corn and soybean markets are now baking in above trendline national average yields. Wow. Is that putting all those bushels in the bin too soon, or are those markets doing the right thing by aggressively looking for more demand? We'll answer those questions and find out what Pro Farmer has planned for the Crop Tour.
Live from Terrific Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Pro Farmer's Captains of Cognition, Ishan, Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson, and Editor Brian Grady. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah, 3 to 5 cents lower in the corn market today. Soybeans, mostly double-digit losses there. Soybean meal under pressure. Soybean oil under pressure. The winter wheat contracts under pressure. Spring wheat under pressure. It's kind of a tough day for the grains, no doubt about it. And live cattle closed higher. Feeder cattle led the gains, and lean hogs were mixed in today's trade. Real quick, because I've been forgetting to do this, Class 3 milk futures for August, off 19 cents, 21.92. You get out to the October, down 28 at 18.62. But I think the milk analysts that have been on the show over the last month or so would be saying, hey, pay pretty doggone close attention to those prices that are available. Maybe get some catastrophic insurance in place in the form of some puts at that break even around $16 in there. Just check that out. All right. How you doing, buddy? Everything good?
I'm doing really good. You know, maybe it's better to look out the window than it is to look at the quote screen today. Gorgeous day here in Northeast Iowa.
It feels like it's going to be a good week.
Yeah, I spent just a little bit of time outside with the dogs goofing around after lunch today, and it's just beautiful out there. I can't wait to get back out there.
I ate lunch outside.
Did you?
I haven't done that. That's the first time this summer that I ate lunch outside because it's just so nice.
That's a great idea. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, well, you're welcome for that.
So will I.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Joe is too. There's Big Apple.
Yeah, Big Apple Joe Stackler is in there with his baby back ribs for lunch. I think that's your kind of like your go-to for lunch, isn't it, Joe?
This audio board may never be the same again.
How do you use a wet nap? A wet nap on all of those electronics? That's got to be difficult to do.
Yeah.
It takes practice, yeah.
It does. Got to be careful. All right, let's get to it. What was moving prices around?
Well, Chip, wheat futures recovered from early session lows to close near mid-range. Traders continue to weigh the potential for upcoming export demand against current global prices. Russia had the cheapest wheat offered in the Egyptian tender, but prices were $2 to $3 per ton higher than last week's lowest offer. Weakness in the greenback is also helping to make U.S. supplies more competitive, but traders are hesitant to pull wheat prices up with more than adequate global supplies expected for the year ahead. September hard red winter wheat was 2¾ cents lower at 4.36¾. September soft red dropped 4¼ cents to 5.23½. September spring wheat was 1¾ cents lower, 5.06¼. Chip.
You know, every time you turn around and you think, well, maybe we've got an opportunity to push this wheat market to the upside. Maybe there's always a counter about the big bulging global wheat stocks that we're looking at for the year ahead. And Davis, we've been doing this afternoon show since 2014. And I think we've been saying the same thing the whole time.
Yeah, well, and I would think, you know, do they not recognize if we're expecting more than adequate global supplies for the year ahead, there's time to push them back down, guys. You know,
sure,
you can push them up for now. There's always time to push them down later. Just a thought.
That's right.
Yeah, that's probably why I'm
like
not a trader.
Okay.
Corn futures posted a high range open and a low range close, with December futures closing at the lowest level since June 26. That means all the price gains from the 5 million acre cut to expected corn plantings has been erased from corn prices. Traders said the 3-point increase in corn rated good to excellent in yesterday's crop progress report was the primary source of selling pressure, but a forecast calling for little crop stress in the Midwest made it easier for traders to stand on the sell side of corn futures today. September corn futures a nickel lower, 320. December corn off 4.5 cents, 330. May corn closed at 341 and a quarter. That's down 4 and a quarter today, Chip.
Can you believe that we've done that now already? Already. Didn't quite take a month. And we got rid of all the price support from a 5 million acre cut to planted acres. I want to get Jeff and Brian's take on that here later in the show.
Soybeans rated good to excellent also increased 3 points to 72% of the weekend of July 26. That put the bean market on the defensive on the opening bell. November beans opened on session highs and traded through support at the June 30 high of 887. New crop futures recovered to trade back at that level late in the session. The relatively stress-free forecast for the bulk of the Corn Belt added to selling interest in bean futures today. And finally, there was no daily dose of export sales announced by USDA this morning, and that failed to provide buyers with any incentive to take action in bean futures. August soybeans 9 3/4 lower, 896 3/4. September beans dropped 11 cents to 887 3/4. Novi beans closed at 887.5, down 12 1/4, buddy.
Yeah, lack of demand didn't help there, or one day without an export sale didn't help, but it's the crop conditions and the weather forecast.
October cotton 10 points lower, 60.59. Dease cotton off 5 points, 61.11, and livestock quickly. August live cattle futures 47.5 higher at $100.90. Dease cattle up 80 cents, 108.87.5, and August feeders $1.35 higher, 140.70. And on the snout side, August lean hogs 35 cents lower, 54.20. December hogs gained 25 cents to 51.80. Cash hogs up 4.75 yesterday, Chip. And
yeah, big move to the upside yesterday. Yeah. Right, right. All right, thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. How you doing, Joe?
Good. How are you, Chip?
I'm okay. So corn market, bean market, doing the right thing in baking in trend line plus yields?
I think so. Well, as of right now, I think so. You know, everybody who has a yield model, and there are a whole bunch of different people with different yield models, they all incorporate the crop ratings in some way, shape, or form. So when you get a 3-point bump, which was kind of unexpected, everybody's scrambling to increase their yield estimates, which creates some selling pressure. So not a surprise after that report yesterday.
Right. Now, you can look at it one of two ways, that A, we're baking in those above trend line yields, or aggressively looking for some demand, some additional demand for these markets. What are the chances that we're going to find that?
I think it's both. I think you're doing both things at the same time. We probably are going to stimulate some better demand here. Demand had already been pretty good. We've seen ethanol improve. We've seen exports for both corn and soybeans improve. Domestic soybean processing has been strong for 2 years. So the demand is there and will very well improve in all likelihood if prices continue to leak.
All right. What do you like in the livestock markets? Anything?
No, I don't like anything about them. I mean, I like the way that the feeder cattle closed today, but I still kind of have this pessimistic view overall. I hope that I'm wrong.
Well, I hope you're wrong, too. What are you watching in the grains through the end of the week?
It just doesn't seem like weather is going to be a big deal. More flash sales. You need more flash sales to China. Corn, soybeans, wheat, whatever they want to buy and as much as they want to buy.
Gotcha. Joe, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you.
All right, that's Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. Okay, coming up, we're going to dive a little deeper into this idea that, you know, are the markets baking in above trendline yields? Is it the right thing to do? We'll find out from Brian Grady, Jeff Wilson, and Pro Farmer, next on AgriTalk.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you could join us today. Got Davis and Davis Michelson with us.
Hello. Yes. Yes.
And we are joined right now by Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. How you doing, Beej?
I'm all right. The Cubs are off to a good start. Hopefully we get to finish this season. Got a little bit nervous last night with the bullpen, but
a little.
I have to admit, I wasn't watching it. I was watching Iowa high school state baseball, but
yeah,
I probably would have been a little bit more nervous if I had to sit through the bullpen.
I wasn't even physically watching it, but I was paying attention to what was going on. You see a run scored, and you think, no big deal. You see two runs, and then another two runs, and you're starting to think, why can't we nail this thing down? Well,
yeah, it's like coaching 12U baseball.
Exactly. Put Wilson on. I'm sure that he's got something to say about this. But when you put Kimbrel on the mound and he walks the bases full and then hits a guy.
I've seen it on many weekends.
That's right. How's the Brewers doing after the Cubs beat the tar out of them to start the season?
500. They're 500.
Okay. All right. All right, yeah, 750 is better. You know that, right?
Just a little.
Come on, man. We're four games into the season.
Exactly. Calm yourself.
Love it. Okay, Brian, I'm going to start with you on this. Leader of the Eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. This is going to be how many years?
28.
The 28th
for Pro
year
Farmer
for the tour.
Yeah,
yeah, but yep. You've been the leader of the Eastern leg now for how many years?
Oh, it's like 12 or I don't know. I don't keep track exactly, but like 12 or something like that.
Right. It's been a while. Well, this one's going to be a lot different than the ones that we've had in the past at Pro Farmer. What have you got planned that is going to keep the tour? I think we've described it as COVID conscience.
Yeah, we'll be out there, sampling August 17th through the 20th, like we always do, across the seven states, Ohio, all the way to the west side through South Dakota and Nebraska, and so we'll cover the same exact routes that we do every year. It's just that the nightly meetings are going to be different. We won't hold the in-person meetings. Those will be virtual, and those will be open to anybody who registers and logs on.
Right.
So that is a change. The other change is normally we go out and we put three or four people in a vehicle to do the scouting. There'll be two-person teams this year. So to limit the face-to-face contact or person-to-person contact, I guess, is probably the biggest thing there.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of coordination between those teams that are out there because and it's not unusual for us to be able to put two drivers on one route, but that's our goal for this year so that we can maintain some of the sample counts that we get through the districts. I think everybody knows that over the last couple of years I've been transitioning from the field team to the data team on Crop Tour, and one thing that we're going to watch very, very closely on the data as it's coming in is making sure that we're not getting any one crop district too heavily weighted with samples compared to the previous years. I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to be short on samples compared to what we've seen over the last few years when we go out and do the tour, just because of some of the changes that we're going through. But if we can maintain that relationship of the sample numbers from crop district to crop district, state to state, then we've still got some valuable data that we can use. And if it was, it's unfortunate that we're going to have to put as much emphasis and focus on making sure that the data doesn't get skewed. Usually we just go out and run the routes and the scouts kind of take care of the sample counts for us. But in this case, we're going to have to watch it doggone close, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everything's a little bit different in today's world because of COVID, yeah. and this will be no different from that. Like you said, the process is going to be the same. It's just that the sample numbers are probably going to be down. Mm-hmm. if we can get to the point where we have half a route, so we're splitting a route, then I think the numbers won't be that much different. We're out there still looking for a few scouts if anybody's interested because of that, trying to get to those numbers. So instead of sending four people out in one vehicle, we would send two vehicles out in that case and on the same route. But
With a total of four people.
Right. Still trying to get to those numbers, like I mentioned. So I know that I tweeted out, you tweeted out, Jeff did as well. So anybody that's interested, get in contact with us, and we can hook you up as a scout.
Right. And the way that the easiest way for you to get in contact, just send an email to host@agritalk.com, host@agritalk.com. And we'll make sure that you get the information that you need if you want to participate as a scout on the 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Jeff, based on the crop condition reports, wait, before I do that, I do need to say that Brian mentioned the evening meetings and that they're going to be available to everybody. You know, these meetings, Brian, Jeff, usually there's 300, 400, even 500 people in the room for these meetings. Obviously, there isn't going to be anybody in those rooms except for the scouts at the meetings this year. But I'll be hosting from a central location. Brian will be providing insight from the eastern leg. Jeff will be providing insight from the western leg, along with all the other scouts. Emily Carlin, who has been working, my daughter, who has been working on Crop Tour with us for the last several years, will be helping us with the data as well. She'll be with me at the central location where we are hosting the event from, the meeting from. And you can sign up for these meetings free. Doesn't matter where you are. You just need to go to either profarmer.com and sign up there, or go to farmjournalfielddays.com. And don't just sign up for the Farm Journal Field Days when you do that. You also have to sign up for the Crop Tour when you do that. You also have to sign up for the 4-H Benefit Concert when you do that. farmjournalfielddays.com. Go and get that done. We're close enough to it now, Jeff. When you look at the crop condition ratings that we're getting from USDA, when you get the reports from Pro Farmer members across the Corn Belt, I think you heard Joe at the start of the show saying, hey, you know what? It's appropriate. We should be factoring in trend line plus yields for corn and soybeans. Do you agree with that?
Maybe a little early. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago when we were cutting it from the USDA's trend line model forecast, right? Yeah, so now all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, things have changed a little bit. That's the way it always is. August is still very important in terms of grain fill. I mean, if all of a sudden it turns hot and dry again and the corn doesn't fill those kernels out to the full extent and the bean pods and bean set doesn't go as well, you know, we could see a drop back. But, you know, right now the market is, you know, starting to raise the yields to new record highs. And, you know, all told, we didn't do any big time damage, and you know, we didn't make new contract lows in corn. So I think the market wants to take a little step back, because first of all, I think there's some sense in the marketplace right now that these weekly crop progress, I mean, how do you know who's going out there and doing it, and how has COVID-19 impacted on these, you know, driving by the highway and taking a look at those fields? That's why the crop tour is so important this year. And I encourage anybody that wants to go, especially father-son or father-daughter teams, to sign up.
Yeah.
And let's go out there and measure what's really out there, not what is viewed from the road.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good idea on the if you want to sign up as a team, that's a great idea. Hey, Brian, but 3-point increases in the amount of the crop rated good to excellent in the last, we're coming on into the last week of July. That's a pretty big move.
Yeah, just doesn't happen a whole lot. For some context there, this is only the third time back to 1986 when USDA started releasing national crop condition ratings on a weekly basis. That's happened for corn, and only the sixth time for soybeans. So, you know, rain's hitting in some of the drier areas, and I'm sure that some of the corn that was rolling, some of the soybeans that, you know, were showing stress looked better. And that's why we got the jump. But 3-point jump is you know, not something that happens very often, and it happened for both the corn and soybean crops this week.
Right, exactly. Okay, that's the supply side of the discussion that I wanted to have with Brian and Jeff. Yeah, we know the crop condition ratings are certainly pointing the corn and soybean yields up, but can we generate some additional use for both these crops, corn and soybeans? We got to examine the domestic demand, foreign demand. We're going to do that next with Brian and Jeff from Pro Pharma. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, Brazilian producers to aggressively expand soybean acres. A closely followed consultant is looking for acres to jump 3.8% from a year ago. Strong demand for cotton in Chinese reserve auctions continues. China sold all of the cotton that it put up for auction this last week. No surprises from the ag portion of the HEALS Act. The ag portion of the HEALS Act came in as expected with about $20.5 billion in new direct funding for the Office of Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. There are signs the pandemic is reaching a plateau. Indiana is out. Cleveland, Ohio is in for the first presidential debate. Disappointing start to the week for the cash cattle market, and cash hog bids jump, like Davis said, up 476 to start the week. Go to tryprofarmer.com. Hey.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
No bagok. All right.
I'll bring the bagok if you like.
I would like to bring the bagok.
Double bagok. With a cuckoo kicker chip.
Welcome.
Double bagok with a cuckoo kicker chip.
Oh, boy. Everybody is glad that they tuned in now for the double bagok and a cuckoo kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
Everybody.
And you got your tongue twister in, too. The Tiberius That's tongue right. twister.
Oh, goodness. All right. We're talking to Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson today. Before we get back to that, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the market's closed.
Chip, September hard red winter wheat, 2¾ cents lower, 436¾. September soft red dropped 4¼ cents to 523½. September corn futures a nickel lower, 320. December corn off 4½ cents, 330. August soybean futures 9¾ cents lower at 896¾. September beans dropped 11 cents to 887¾. October cotton 10 points lower, 60.59. On the livestock side, August live cattle futures 47½ higher at $100.90. August feeders $1.35 higher, 140.70. And August lean hogs 35 cents lower at 54.20. Chip, there's your quick market recap. Back to you.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got the equities under some pressure today. Dow's off about 143 points right now. Brian Grady is the Pro Farmer editor. Jeff Wilson, Pro Farmer senior market analyst. You know what? Before we move on, I want to get this in there real quick. Why in the heck were cash hogs up 476 yesterday, Brian?
You know what? I don't really have a good answer for that, to be honest with you. Nothing says that they should be. Slaughter rates are pushing higher. You know, that there isn't a need. There's still a backlog. And so, yeah, I would anticipate that that'll probably correct down. But we have been trending higher the last 3 weeks or so here. So, you know, seasonally, we should be firming a little bit before we take our downturn into the end of the year. That one was a little bit hard to explain, the extreme price strength that we saw yesterday in the cash market.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, early on in this pandemic, cash livestock markets, the cattle market in particular, we saw that box beef market going through the roof. We saw that cash market kind of falling apart on us, and then you'd see talk of trade, say, at $90. Early in the week. And then at the end of the week, here'd come that bid back there at 105 or even $107. It was like they were kind of dressing up the cash market is kind of how I looked at it. Is there some of that going on in this hog move?
I just think that we're moving the pork, and you just got to keep.
Okay.
You know, when you have the cutout above $70, that would imply, you know, the lean hog index should be better than $50 where it's at right now. So, I think there's just we're moving the pork, and the key now is keeping the exports going, and they need to remain strong because we're not going to have any shortage of hogs anytime soon. So if we can keep this slaughter up around 480, that's a good thing. And if that means the packer has to, you know, be a little more aggressive to keep everything coming, and, you know, the weights went down a pound last week, so that's not a bad sign that things are cleaning up a little bit. But it's just a matter of, you know, maybe people are starting to stock
the numbers game.
Starting to stock the freezer again in case COVID, you know, wave two comes in the fall.
Yep. I got a pig coming my way. So, yeah, it's all interesting. Hey, Brian, did we cover enough on the supply side of corn and soybeans or the grains in particular? We didn't even touch on spring wheat. Anything there?
The spring wheat crop's really solid right now. Still, it barely moved for the week, but it's 11 points above where it normally would be on our weighted crop condition index. Okay. So really strong spring wheat crop. That doesn't mean that there aren't areas that have some issues and things like that, but all in all, it's an above average crop.
Okay. Before we talk domestic demand, which is improving, we got to talk about what's going on in China at the auctions of the state-owned reserves of corn, Jeff. This is pretty remarkable stuff.
Cash price in China is over $8.50 a bushel in some spots. You know, it's $7.75 in some other spots where there might be a few more supplies. So the numbers out of China, ever since the USDA accepted the Chinese numbers back 10 years ago, I remember they made all those big revisions and everything. Mm-hmm. There's always been some question about what their stockpiles really are. It's a state secret. And clearly the prices are telling us that their supplies are much tighter. Now you got this big flooding going on in the south. It is getting drier in the north where they grow the majority of their corn. So maybe there's a situation here that the corn demand could prove to be a lot better than we think. No one is going to know that answer until they make those purchases, but maybe that helps to put a floor into the corn market as we move into the fall time frame.
Brian, it really makes me scratch my head trying to figure out exactly what they're doing. Because on one hand, you like to think that this demand is for real. On another hand, you might think, well, they're just trying to, you know, put some salve on the boo-boos that are being called by the political tensions between the two countries. And it just, I don't know how you figure out exactly what they're doing, if the demand is real or not.
Well, I think the demand is real because, the limited stockpiles, what they do have is of low quality, and you just have to look to the weekly auctions, and they're buying everything at higher prices.
Everything.
Yes, absolutely everything. And so I think the demand is real. It's just a matter of how much they're going to buy. And, you know, to be honest with you, on days like today where you see us down about a nickel in prices, they probably are going to step up and make some purchases because the Chinese are very shrewd marketers. And they aren't going to buy when they think prices are necessarily headed lower. They'll take advantage when they feel like lows are in place or close to in place. And you know, what we've seen, the price action in corn has basically been sideways here recently. You know, it softens a bit from day to day. It also firms a bit from time to time, but we haven't really gone down too far. That 330 levels provided pretty solid support for December corn futures, and that's right where we closed today. If we drop below that, you're back at the contract low about 422, and you know, if you violate that, then you probably take another nickel or dime off of it. But what we've seen over the course of time is for many years that when you get into the low $3 range, demand comes back, whether it's physical demand, and it doesn't matter who's buying it. In this case, it would be China in all likelihood. But the physical demand comes back and the paper demand comes back. And with the fund so heavily loaded up on the short side of the market right now, you're probably going to see a little bit more of an influx of paper demand at that low $3 levels, just my inclination anyway.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Jeff, how much of an influence is the currency trade having?
I think it has a lot every single day because you have I would say 75% of the trade every day is computer driven. And so they have their system set up. And when the dollar weakens, they say, oh, I should buy some grains. And it's not necessarily huge purchases, but they pick away at things and buy. And then when the dollar strengthens a little bit, they sell. And so it's just a story but the bottom line to the whole thing is that, you know, everyone looks at this dollar index. It's 50% is the value based on the euro. Well, the euro's had a big rally, and everyone's getting all excited. But, you know, what we need to really look at is how the dollar trades against the emerging market currencies, not necessarily, which also does include the euro and the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar because they're big competitors in the wheat market. But the dollar is not the real thing. It's how the dollar trades against all the competing currencies and the buyers of the time. And we really haven't seen the dollar against those currencies make a big move. It is encouraging to see the Brazilian real start to weaken a little bit here, but the Argentine peso continues to weaken almost every single day. The ruble remains relatively weak. So, you know, it's great if you want to follow it on a day trading basis in terms of the impact it's going to have in the grain markets. But in terms of the impact on buying and selling commodities on a long-term basis by importers and exporters, it doesn't have a big deal.
Okay. All right. So, Beej, take a look at all the markets that we've talked about. Do you feel any need to get some risk management in place?
Well, I think we're probably fairly close to a low in the corn market. That doesn't mean that we're going to shoot higher by any means, but I do think that there's probably limited downside risk just based on where we're trading from a pure price standpoint and the fact that the funds are heavily loaded up on the short side. The funds have shown a willingness to be long in soybeans, and they peeled some of that off today. So I think that maybe there's some downside risk if we move into August and the weather's favorable and the funds want to get out of some of that length. But in all likelihood, they're going to want to be long something, and soybeans is probably the most logical thing. The wheat market, you know, that one kind of been ebbing and flowing with what the world crops have been doing and crop estimates and things like that. But really, when you look at global supplies, they're projected to be record large for 2020, 2021. So we just, you know, it's limited to the upside and probably has some downside risk if some of those crop estimates stop declining.
Right. Gotcha. All right, guys, the last word here is if you're interested in coming along and scouting with the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this year, starts August 17th. Drop me a note, host@agritalk.com, and I'll make sure to pass it on to Brian and Jeff, and we'll get you all the details. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You betcha.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back. Welcome Monday, Tuesday, she never called. I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis with me, and we just wrapped up a conversation with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson. Right, yeah, they've got a challenge in front of them. And you know, I'm part of the team. You're part of the team when it comes to Crop Tour and getting all the information
part,
out.
I mean, let's be
not
honest.
Not really.
Have to host, sort of sit here and sound, you know, halfway intelligent, keep the conversation going. It's
well,
easy.
Now that you put it that way, I do see the level of difficulty involved for you.
I mean, the information just pours
so
in.
So mean. I'm sorry.
Whether I'm here or not. No, that's fine. I fully admit, hey, man, these guys make it easy, really, because As I understand it, and see, I'm always the last one to know what I'm supposed to be doing on crop tour, and it's usually the same every year. You know, I know as soon as I know. Updates from the scouts.
Let's make sure that that's understood.
Yeah. Updates from the scouts, from the tour leaders, and then try to make a little bit of sense of it all, and just keep Planet Earth updated on what the heck is going on out there, on a, you know, almost on an hour by hour basis. And doggone it, dare I say it, I'm glad to do it.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, you'll be hosting the afternoon show. The way things stand right now, you'll be hosting the afternoon show when we get
to
it. I'll still be hosting the morning show. But then in the afternoon, my level of anxiety over managing the data properly and transparently is significant already. And we're three weeks out.
Yes. And let me just pull back the curtain just a little bit. When I was just a rookie there at Pro Farmer, I had no idea what managing that data would be. That was back when we were still doing it all on paper. There were fax machines involved.
Fax machines involved.
Stacks and stacks of paper. Julianne Johnston and I spent hours and hours trying to go through these, confirm the numbers that we, you know, because they're out in the field and you got a pencil and, okay, maybe there's dew involved. And some of the numbers just look like little globs. You know, every once in a while you get that.
Or maybe
that
hard rain.
or that bead of sweat that rolls off the tip of your nose and hits just right on the, you know, here's the big number. And it looks like 40,109. Well, we can't.
That takes a phone call to clear up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes. And there were a number of those calls. But the process is streamlining as we go along, correct?
Yeah.
A more digital format these days. No more faxes.
It is. Well, there's no more faxes, but there's a lot of pictures that come in, and every number that comes in is still double checked, and in many cases is triple checked. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that we don't have anything goofy in there. So in the afternoons when the numbers are really rolling in, I'm going to be working with Emily, and we're going to make sure that's all ready to go. And just a reminder, get signed up for those evening meetings. No, we're not going to put a restriction on the number of people that can attend a virtual event. That's going to be wide open, but we still want you to get signed up so that we know what we're going to be dealing with when the crop tour meetings kick off. Evening meetings we're going to include the results from that day sampling, August 17th through the 20th, the Pro Farmer crop estimate, which of course is different than the crop tour meetings. I hope everybody understands that by now. But the crop tour estimate, the Pro Farmer estimate, is going to be coming your way on Friday, August 21st. Then, so, but those evening meetings, get registered for them. Go to farmjournalfielddays.com or to profarmer.com. And if you go to Farm Journal Field Days, like I said earlier, don't just sign up for the field days. You want to do that,
yes.
But you also need to sign up for the crop tour, and be a part of that. Now, the Farm Journal Field Days, we've got field demonstrations, presentations, panel discussions, wide selection of topics, and pavilions for you to check out. There's going to be chances to talk with exhibitors from across the countries. And you get to do it all from the comfort of your office. So farmjournalfielddays.com. And then we wrap everything up on the 27th with that benefit auction. Lee Bryce, Justin Moore, Jennifer Nettles. It's going to be quite a concert that's going to be streaming live and on RFD TV.
That'll be a heck of a deal.
Get signed up for it all.
And it's free, by the way. Did you say free? I wasn't paying
attention. I did say free.
There for a second.
And your 4-H'er can be part of the concert. Take a picture of them with their project. Put it out on Twitter with a hashtag FarmOn or text the picture along with a brief description and Farm On to 31313.
Hey, I don't know if this is a requirement or not. Maybe don't go by me. You know, I know very little when it comes to this stuff, as we've established in this conversation.
Okay.
But hey, let's get gussied up. Let's get show ready. Even if,
darn
you know, take a picture, you know, there out in front of the, you know, the
Yes.
Find a nice angle in front of your barn or out in a nice, you know, field with a nice field in the background or something like that. Show your 4-H pride. Show your pride in your project. Get out there and exhibit. You know, consider yourself an exhibitor when that shutter flashes. And because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the best.
I love that
idea. The absolute
idea.
Best out of you. Yeah.
I love that idea. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't turn down some wash rack picture mishaps, stuff
absolutely
like
not.
That. Or maybe from the grooming shoot. Maybe from the grooming shoot. I've seen some awful things happen in that grooming shoot.
You got a dirty t-shirt, you've been baling hay all day, and the sleeves are cut off, and you got a tear in the side of your Wranglers. Hey, bring up your U, all right? Let's have a look at them. Let's see your pen of three. Let's, you know, whatever you got.
Love it.
We'll take it how we can get it.
National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook August 3rd through the 7th. Below normal temperatures across most of the Corn Belt. The exception would be South Dakota, North Dakota, far, and the Red River Valley up in Minnesota. But we're also looking at below normal precipitation August 3rd through the 7th across most of the Corn Belt. The Western Belt would be the exception where normal precipitation is expected. So cool but dry in the outlook.
All right.
And yeah, but like Joe said, like Brian said, like Jeff said, maybe it's a little early to be factoring in those above trend line yields, but when you look at the lack of stress from the temperatures in this outlook, you got to wonder if maybe that's not where we're heading.
Hey,
all right,
public
guys,
service announcement. Don't open the seeds. Don't open the seeds.
Come back tomorrow. We got Joe Glauber and a Farmer Forum right here on AgriTalk.